Today on the Messy Faith Podcast.
Well, hello, hello, ladies. Welcome to the Messy Faith Podcast because...
life is messy.
But God already paid the maid.
Woo.
I'm Emily Roth.
And I'm Cetricia Passion.
And welcome to the podcast today.
Yay.
We are going to get right into it. So whether you're driving, doing the dishes, breastfeeding, whatever you're doing, I don't know why I just said that. Whatever you're doing, whether you're watching or listening, we want to jump into a 30-ish minute critical conversation where faith and life mix together. And we want to acknowledge right out of the gate, it's messy.
It is messy.
It's messy. But we want to be real and authentic about how we do life on the way to doing the way. So, Cetricia is going to guide us in a conversation.
Ooh, am I now? Am I?
What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about identity.
Oh, dang. Ooh, that's big. What about identity?
That can be such a like a broad,
yeah,
you know, subject. But I think in just like... a confidence of knowing who you are,
okay,
from that lens or that perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like who you are in general or like who you are?
It could be both. It could be in general, but who you are ultimately because we are believers in Christ, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like in just an everyday human's life, a female human's life, you know, there is, you have the prom.
Yes.
You know, you have your wedding day.
Yes.
Or you don't have your wedding day. Sorry about
Some people do, some people don't.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else would you have? The birth of your cat? I don't know. And I'm getting... but then you also have the day that you were reborn.
Yes.
Transformed. Exactly. Okay, so let's jump right into identity and tips and tricks and...
yeah.
Just a discussion on what that's all about.
So I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Fair game.
I always ask you.
Pew pew. So when you hear the word identity, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? There's no right answer either.
Jim Carrey with the mask.
That's, I love Jim Carrey.
Smoking.
Because... when I think of identity, I think it's like people can make their identity like their job.
Yes.
So their identity could be, I'm a chef, or I'm a lawyer, or I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
List of things like that. So I think when I initially hear identity, I think it's attached to like what you do.
Yes. That's the natural default. I remember doing an actual actually doing research on like what forms a human's identity, because there's a psychological component to it as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, where does it intersect with God? Where does he overtake and refresh and transform?
Yeah.
Because I don't think sometimes that we as humans understand that the actions we take every day are based on the identity that we have and are filtering our actions through.
You're getting it, yes.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
So like, even if you want to create like this habit, if that habit doesn't align with your identity, which is made up of your core values, which we'll get into, you're not going to be able to maintain that habit because it doesn't align with what you actually hold as value in your life.
Yes.
You know,
let's talk about the core. Let's go to the core values. I think that's necessary to set up like
the rest of it. Well, the core values are whatever you find in your life that you hold true.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just like when we I don't know if we had this conversations, but whenever you so just to explain, if you don't understand what a core value is or what it is, here's a good example. Mm-hmm. So let's just say Tracy and I had a conversation. She said something or did something. Okay, I'm going to completely make this up just to make it obvious.
Okay.
So let's just say Cetricia talked about me behind my back.
Oh,
I know. You would never do that. But I'm just, for a very easy example, one of my core values is candor.
Hmm.
Okay, which is, I think I'm using the right word, is candor authenticity. So truth, right? So if let's say you talked bad about me because there was conflict, one of my core values is that if you have conflict with me, that you will come and talk to me about it.
Yeah.
But you didn't. So I am like, I'm seeing red a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm seeing red a little bit. And what happened is a situation rubbed up against my core value. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm feeling frustration. Yeah. And a lot of times people just like, I don't know, this person ticks me off. Mm-hmm. You know, this person really irks me. Well, I ask you to look a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. And what are they rubbing up against you?
Yeah.
Are they operating against one of your core values? Mm-hmm. So sometimes we're oblivious to these core values that we have.
For sure.
So that's what a core value is. Yeah. And you get them mostly intentionally, but sometimes unintentionally, because there is nurture versus nature. But I believe that Jesus can transform those into his nature, which supersedes all of those. But
yeah,
so like I'm adopted. Mm-hmm. I was adopted when I was five. I think first grade or kindergarten. I forget. Somewhere around there, right? But I didn't get taken in until I was 24 months. So I have 2 years of like prime mental brain development mm-hmm. and social relationship development happening at that time. Mm-hmm. And so one of my things that I have is like never feeling like enough. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't enough for those people. And then I, you know, I was enough for my parents, right? You know, mm-hmm. And then also having learning disabilities, mm-hmm. like I'm not enough. So knowledge is like one of my core values because of something that I didn't have. Yeah. So they can be developed that way mm-hmm. or, you know, you can develop them any other way. It kind of is based on your upbringing and your personality.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good. So like somebody who's like, I hate a liar. And it's because they
it's because
were lied to from somebody hurt them.
Exactly. So, yeah.
That's so good.
What were we talking about? Oh, the core values.
Yeah. Because that's what we were talking about, identity and how, and which makes sense because they're an example of someone who sees someone on TikTok or social media and they're like, I want to be a naturalist too. And so they go out and buy all this soil and they do all this, you know what I mean? And they can never keep it up. It's not because you're not good enough. It's because that doesn't line up with your core values. It looks cool on camera.
Yeah.
But it's really not that important to you.
It's so like
you
don't want to get a fad. And, a phase. So as humans, we can have a lot of phases, but the things that stick past the phase is things that line up with your core value or those things that you hold, those beliefs that you hold.
Yeah. So that's why people can change careers mm-hmm. and they're still have the same core values.
Exactly.
Because you're not your career. It's a part of what makes you like what person you are in this season, but it's not your identity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really-
So I'll tell you about this little identity crisis I had.
Okay.
I think this was like 2 years ago. I like to call my little Bermuda mental health triangle mm-hmm. where allergic reaction meets anxiety meets like spiritual deconstruction or mm-hmm. you know just everything falls away and I'm like anyway, so what happens is after I couldn't go 7 days without sleep, right, finally getting some sleep, but for like 2 months mm-hmm. I couldn't be creative. Okay, so you know me, right?
All creative.
Yeah. Like creative for days. Mm-hmm. Like you people come to me to get creativeness.
Yeah.
And so that's all I've been. That's like the one thing I was like born with it. I've had it since the womb. Like I believe it was like, you know,
you
supernaturally injected. Oh, seriously. Seriously. I was like doing origami with them like veins.
That's funny.
In utero. And so this was the first time in my entire life, 38 years old, and I couldn't be creative at all.
Hmm.
Like I couldn't look at a piece of paper and know what to draw. I had no creative idea go through my mind.
Hmm.
And I was crying. I was like, I told a close friend, a close mentor of mine, I was like, I don't know who I am.
Wow.
Because I'm not creative. And it wasn't till just actually like last month that doing some research, I realized that when your body is in a state of trauma,
mm-hmm.
that actually half your brain shuts down.
Wow.
And the part of the brain that shuts down is the creative side because it's only the survival that keeps up.
Interesting.
So your brain does this to protect you.
Interesting.
It's a survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I was in the 2 months that I literally could not be creative,
mm-hmm.
like all I could do was open up a book and I could draw a line. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I just drawed pipes. So now my husband has pipe PTSD because when he sees me drawing pipes, he's like, something's wrong.
Something's going on.
Yeah. I had to find my identity or reassess where my identity really was. Huh. Is my identity in my ability to be creative only?
Yeah.
Or is my identity that I am okay just to be standing here being Emily,
yeah,
but being a daughter of the king?
Yeah.
Is that my identity?
Yeah.
So in that 2 month window, I really, it rocked my world because I lived in a world before where I was put on this planet to be creative by God.
Yeah.
But then when that was taken away, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Who else?
No, I was being put on this planet because I was such a beautiful idea in his mind that he had to make me. And so he made me. But the things that he has for me to do, they might have something to do with my giftings, but the foundation of what he has for me to do is just be his daughter.
Yes.
And so it rocked my world. So yes.
That's so good. I'm like processing other little things and I'm going to use this. I'm going to tell some people this.
Yeah.
But no, that's so good. And when you were talking, it made me think about like identity versus like value. Like how we value ourselves. Like that's a thought that came into my mind. Like, how do we tie our identity to our value? That's a question for you.
Okay. Because
you're the expert right now.
Okay. How do we tie our value to our identity?
Like how some, not saying that we should. I'm not saying that we should. But I feel like sometimes when a person, okay, so I'll explain the whole thing.
Give me some context, girl.
So say a person in their identity of who they identify as. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor. And then they tie their value to be a high value person because
of their position.
Yes, yeah. And then a person who maybe works at McDonald's and they had a different start at life, they view themselves a lower value, or even someone else viewing someone else as a lower value because they do this type of occupation, or a stay-at-home mom, or like, I don't make money, so I can't because I'm just a stay-at-home mom.
Or somebody who doesn't make a lot of money as opposed to somebody who makes a crap ton of money.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, I could never do that. Or we naturally equate our value based on.
Yeah.
Okay.
In society, unfortunately, we treat people like their value is more when they make more money or they have more education, you know, like, and use bigger words. So they're like, this person's more important, or this person's valued more. You know what I mean? Because of these things.
So that's a really good question. And I think that's something that I am still work. I think we're going to have to work through that our entire lives. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. Because I think we're working against the culture of this world.
Yes.
Meaning that it's like high production. What can you create? What can you make? How much money can you make? What do you look like? How good can you look? What type of clothes are you wearing? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you teaching your kid? Like, you know, who are you canceling now? Like, oh, you can't be about them because they're about this. You know, we're constantly being hit with things.
Yes.
And with the rise of the internet and social media, you can't ever get a break from that.
Yeah.
Unless you disconnect.
Yes.
So this is where, and again, I'm figuring this out because I'm trying to instill it in my teenagers before they leave my house. Like, I've done what I can, but I feel like I need to like up it a bunch. Like they need to develop it before they're out, you know, because I only got a few more years and then they're gone.
Yeah.
So it's actually something that I'm trying to like make a, not that they're going to know that we're working through this, because here's the thing. So I used to think, okay, I'll just go through a Bible study on identity with my girls, right? My husband just like roll his eyes at me. Not that he doesn't. I mean, he's so much biblical knowledge. It makes me sick to my stomach. Dope. I'm a little jelly. but is that the best way that a teenager learns?
No.
No. Not at all. So what I do is I like outline like the psychological and the theological like points that I want to teach them, and then I spit it out in conversations or questions.
Yeah,
as we do life together.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and so the value one is very, very big because teens are exposed to a certain way to look. Mm-hmm. So I have female teenagers, so I'm a little juxtaposed. That's what I'm, you know, facing right now.
Unfortunately, the guys too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What was your question? I forgot for a second.
Value to identity.
Right, right. So I had this question. We had this question with one of my girls. And so I told her, you know that God sees you this way and says this is what you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, I know, but how do I know that? Or how do I understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. So all I have to do is what I've based it on is you have to believe mm-hmm. that God is who he says he is and mm-hmm. what he says is true.
Yes.
So the foundational thing is that you have to know that the words he says are the ultimate truth.
Yes.
Because if you don't have that anchor, like that final, mm-hmm. like absolute truth, that's the word.
Yeah.
That the words that Jesus and God spoke are absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
That you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
You're going to be in for a life of wishy-washy going mm-hmm. back and forth. You're going to be strong for a season yeah. and then you're going to be like treacherously weak for another season, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But once you settle in your mind,
yeah.
and I'm not saying this happens one time. You have to constantly remind yes. yourself mm-hmm. on who he says you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who I have this saying that my girls laugh at me. You don't know who you are until you know whose you are.
Yes.
Because the more you know him,
mm-hmm.
the more you understand how he made you
yes.
and who he made you to be.
Yes.
So that way, everything he says about me that I was fearfully and wonderfully made,
mm-hmm.
like that's true.
Yes.
That he knows me. He knows all the hairs on my head.
Yeah.
So he knows all these idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
You think you don't know that what the things I think?
Uh-huh.
He knows them.
Yes.
He knows them. And then this is the ultimate thing is that knowing all of that,
mm-hmm.
knowing every sin that I would ever commit, he still sent his son to die on the cross for me.
Yes. That attaches, I mean, that like covers the value part of it.
Exactly.
Because if you know that you are still worth dying for, even in your mess, even without perfection, even with a hateful heart, even with the whatever, you know, you can tie to yourself. Even with that, he sent his son to die for you.
Yes. I know, right. Okay, yeah. So picture, so I know, this is an exercise. So what you do is just think about the most shameful thing that you have ever done in your life,
yeah.
Whether it's your deep, dark secret mm-hmm. or whatever it is that just sit there in that for 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then while you're sitting in that place, picture Jesus still going to the cross at the moment that you're committing that.
Yeah.
Because that's literally what happened.
Yeah. That's so good.
And you are good enough. So that's how I am going to, with my girls, handle their value mm-hmm. is like just pretty much break down every personal thing Jesus says
mm-hmm.
about his children.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to weave it into different conversations with them.
For sure.
This is kind of, and this is helpful to me.
Yeah, for sure. And then another tool like for her to help with, who asked, because I don't think you said the name.
No, but, I didn't want to point her out.
Yeah, yeah. But the one who asked that to another tool that has been helping me, because I was talking to my therapist about some identity stuff, and that's going to be a whole nother podcast
yeah.
with like being African-American and just all this stuff versus being African versus being like from the Caribbeans and just the different things that we
yeah.
struggle with in identity because of the history of this country, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But one way, a tool is every time a thought that doesn't line up to who God says you are comes, is to continue to remind yourself who God says you are, even when you don't believe it. And the more we do that exercise, then it starts to become like a nature of what we think of ourselves versus,
yes.
you know, like not
yeah.
accepting it. Like if one says, you're not enough, or, you know, nobody would love you, or, you know, you're not this, or you're that, you're so this. Whenever those thoughts that come up that are a lie, you know, come up, that it's just replacing it with what the truth is. And you might not believe it the first 15 million times you say it, but if you say it enough or every time those negative things come up, then you will start to believe it. But it's like an exercise. It's like you know those little, the bop it things, like
oh, yeah,
it
yeah.
pops up.
Yep.
Every time it pops up, you got to hit it back down with truth. So one, we got to know what the Bible says, like who we are. We have
yeah.
to know that. So that's a good study. If you're struggling in like with your identity and who you are or your value, is to look up scriptures, like do a Google search because Google's good, or a ChatGTP search. And say, what are all the scriptures on identity?
Make that AI work for you.
Make it work for you. And then take all those scriptures that deal with identity and start to speak that over yourself. If that's an area that you're struggling with, if you got to do it daily, if you need to schedule time in your week to do it, or
yeah.
put up little post-it notes on your window or your mirror or whatever, if that's an area that you're struggling in, try to see, like put intention into finding who God says you are.
Yeah.
And every time a thought comes against that, then you bop it back down.
Yeah. One thing that my husband has taught me, and I'm in the process of redoing this now, is, and he's a high school football coach. So
mm-hmm.
he's all into like building, you know, culture and, you know, like, how do you lead people without, like, dictatorism? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How do you invite people to mutual ownership in an idea and an mm-hmm. environment? Anyway, so creating a personal philosophy.
Hmm.
And if so, what that is what you pretty much, it's stating what your core values are and what you feel like God has placed you on this world to do. And you combine those all into this personal philosophy mm-hmm. that you can remind yourself of. And what's really awesome, it's kind of what you said, like, you know, just know what God says about you and mm-hmm. then repeat that stuff. So it's the same thing, but it's putting it into a formal, like, it's more than just a statement. It's almost like a little paragraph of, and as soon as I get this done, I'll read it to you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But what it is like you're pre-deciding, you're mm-hmm. making a lot of decisions.
Yeah.
So you've heard of like decision fatigue, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. When there's too many decisions, like mm-hmm. you're like, and it's harder to make a good decision, right? Uh-huh, yeah. Well, when you have identity fatigue, because you don't know what your identity is really, or you think it's something else, mm-hmm. then when something else comes in, you're like, oh, this one or that one, you know, what am I now?
Mm-hmm.
So we make all these pre-decisions. So this is how I want to live my life out mm-hmm. because I am going to accomplish this. And it doesn't have to be like, I'm going to be, like a conference speaker, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It can be a way you treat people or you know, an idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to be somebody who treats people with kindness. It could be as mm-hmm. general as that. But you make all your decisions in life flow through your personal philosophy.
And it should be based off of your core beliefs.
Oh, yes.
Because it
exactly.
can't be based off of doing, because then when you don't do that, is that not true? Right?
Exactly. That's what exactly. You're saying, right? Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So I give people this exercise where you're supposed to write down five situations in your life. Like if you don't know what your core values are,
mm-hmm.
write down five big situations in your life
mm-hmm.
and you reflect on them. How did this make me feel? Why did I feel that way? What did I learn from this? And what core value can you pick out from that? And it can be more than five.
It could be good or bad, right?
Exactly. Good mm-hmm. or bad. And it gives you a good sense of your action over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you really like... You can hypothesize or just say you have a core value, but you have to take your core values based off of your actions.
Yeah.
So when people, and some people are just straight up shy. I'm just going to use this as an example because it's easy to understand. So if somebody was really shy and didn't believe that they had, okay, I'm working through this with one of my daughters.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you who anyway, mm-hmm. but she doesn't.
She got six kids, so you'll never guess.
Anyway, she doesn't think her words have value.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry telling that. I'm like, oh my gosh. So we're having to instill inside of her that she is valuable because God made her.
Mm-hmm.
And then that means that her words and her thoughts have value, and she has value in any space that she goes into. So we're having to build that up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where I was going. What were we talking about?
We're talking about core values. And if you don't know what your core values are, you take five of these moments.
And then you build up your personal philosophy based on the evidence in your life of what your values are. Now you can change your core values.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are like, well, what if I, you know, got saved when I was like, you know, 40 and like some of my core values are off, you know, it's totally fine. Neuroplasticity. Hello. It's just going to be a little harder. You just got to break a habit. You got to break a way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And all of us as humans are always doing this.
Yeah.
So you can change your core value. It's just... by the transformation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know,
I have a comment to say in there, but I don't want to stop where you're going.
No, go ahead. Say the comment.
Okay. How you just said that. Now, this is a key thing when I think about identity, and we're not going to be able to touch it too much because it deserves its own whole show mm-hmm. or podcast, or like it deserves more. So a thing that I've noticed, and I'm not going to get too much into it, but a thing that I've noticed being an African-American person, mm-hmm. woman, I'll say, in America, there are things that have been beat into us in how we view ourselves and our identity that are negative, that is something that I feel like hinders us in fully receiving or believing who God says we are. And so it is harder to receive the good about ourselves because we've heard so many negative things. We've heard so many things that almost like we take on it as an identity. Oh, Black women are aggressive. Black women are loud. Black women are ghetto. Black women are the least desirable. Black women are the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All these things that have been beat into us purposely and not on purpose too. Like when you, if you Google a beautiful woman, it's not going to be a Black woman. You're going to see literally on Google images, you're not going to see a Black woman. You're going to see all white women. You know, when you go into the beauty aisle, when you look at all the products, the pictures that you see on the boxes are not going to be Black women unless it's that small little tiny ethnic, you know, section in the, you know, in the store. And so it, all those little things, and they're just the commentary that you hear all the time. You know, the way that people treat you is like you're aggressive or you're too loud.
It's almost like you're feeling like you're starting way back further.
Yes.
Like your starting line is here. Other people's starting line is here.
Yes. And then even when you try to, if you try to stand up for yourself, it's like, oh, she's so aggressive. Oh, no, she's violent. Oh, she's this. And it's like, no, you called me a name and I'm addressing it. And I'm not even being loud or aggressive to you. I'm just defending that I'm not that. And then it's, oh, they're argumentative. Oh, they're just so difficult. Oh, they're so this. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so sometimes in like our identity of who we are and who God says we are, it could be something like he's like, you're so this. It's hard to believe that because you have to break past all of the things that were instilled.
All the lies that
were instilled in you from a young age. And from, it's not even from a young age. It's passed down from generations. It's generational trauma. It's from when your family
like
was a slave.
It's like systemic stuff as well, right?
Yes.
In the system.
it's all the way that has flowed down. Sometimes it could be difficult to rewire that part of it. But so you were talking about, you can rewire that.
You can.
And I think associating the two together, like how do you rewire, not how do you rewire because you're not a Black woman, so you don't know how to do that,
but
how do you rewire that part
of
your brain?
I'm so glad that you said that. Because we get to talk about hope.
Yes.
We get to talk about hope.
Yay!
We get to talk about hope. And first of all, I'm really sorry. I don't know. I have not experienced that at all. And my heart breaks as a friend just hearing you say that. Like, I almost want to cry a little bit. And so I don't know what to do except for to say I'm sorry. And I'm here for whatever
just
you
tell
need.
Me hopes.
Okay.
No,
like, shut
I appreciate
up, tell me hope.
No, I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I know it. I don't look at you and think you've done it. It's just what it
oh,
is.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I just want to let you know that that makes me really upset
because
you're my friend.
Yeah.
How dare somebody, like, I want to swear words at you. Not at you, at
we death. Can once we turn the camera. No,
just kidding.
Just
okay,
kidding.
So, yeah. So about how you can, sorry, I'm saying, okay, so hope. Now there's a lot of, there's like, you know how everybody says love and so it's kind of like diluted?
Uh-huh.
The same kind of thing happened with hope where people use hope in a sense that like, oh, I hope it works out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really hope we can get this. They actually mean I wish.
Yeah.
Right? So hope is actually a scientific measurable thing.
Hmm.
It's also actually a very biblical thing.
Very.
God created supernatural thing.
Dang.
It's like a they have laws of the universe. It's like laws of the godness that he instilled. And I believe that he instilled it in humans to be able to give other humans hope. And I'm gonna explain how you do it.
Okay.
And then this could work for everybody. And this is how you can change your core values. This is how you can, when your starting line is back here, this is how you can, you know, get going on the race with some oomph.
Yeah.
Okay. So like literally, this is like a scientific thing. They've measured it. There's a psychology to it, everything. So there's three ingredients to hope that create hope.
Yeah.
And just to get the Bible stuff out of the way, we have the blessed hope, which means that we have the hope that God's going to come back again, you know, for his saints. And then we also have the base biblical hope that we hope in the Lord. Anyway, okay, I'm going to shut up now. I'm stuttering because I'm like so overexcited to explain hope that
yay.
I'm like going 1,000 miles in my brain. Okay, so hope. We have willpower, way power, plus a goal equals hope.
Way power.
Exactly.
What's
okay.
Power?
Okay, let's start with willpower first. So when we say willpower, a lot of people, they know kind of like willpower.
Yeah.
It's not exactly what you think. Yes, it evolves your motivation, like what motivation you can conjure up.
Yeah.
It also is limited by the glucose levels in your body.
Hmm.
So it has a ceiling.
Huh.
But there's also something really cool about this. When you're in community.
Just so you know, we're going to do a whole podcast on this too, because I have so many questions to that, but I'm going to spare it for time's sake.
Okay.
But go ahead.
But in community, mm-hmm. whether it's a small group or a bigger group, you can actually borrow the energy, the willpower from your friends.
Like, I'm a borrow some.
Yeah. No, no, seriously. You can borrow that momentum, that motivation. And so it lifts your motivation. So there's something to God creating us in community and to do life together.
Yeah.
Because as you were talking about you and your experiences and how you feel, how do you do that when you kind of feel alone? Is in community. Because you don't have enough to do it on your own.
For sure.
But with community and with the Spirit, you can have enough willpower to help get you to the goal. So we have the willpower. That's the willpower part, right? So your gas, the gas in your car, so to speak. And then we have the way power. That's your ability to see a way through.
Oh, okay.
Way power. Yeah, get it. Like way power, right?
Which is hope, essentially, right?
Well, no, it's all three.
Okay.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. So some people have all the motivation in the world, but they don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So then they stop. So that's what they call, that's how they call,
that's good.
High willpower, low way power.
And some people have high way power, but low willpower.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That'd be me.
Yeah. So your ability to look at a situation and see multiple ways to get to your goal. That's the third thing. The third thing is the goal, right? That is way power. So the more we can train our minds to say there's not one way to get there, then we are allowing ourselves multiple ways. We're more flexible in our emotional states, and it doesn't like it doesn't put a hole in our gas tank of willpower. Because as soon as you don't find a way, then you're it's like putting a hole in your gas tank and it starts going down, right? Because you see no way out of this. And willpower is the gas to get you in the car to get you to the goal. And when you have those three things working in tandem, like you have the willpower, you see the way, or if that way is adjusting, it means you see lots of ways, which is good, which is healthy. You're moving towards the goal. And when you by getting the goal or even moving towards the goal, you that's hope. That's literally measurable hope.
That's good.
And you know that, that you can teach hope. So you tell somebody about the willpower, the way power. You get in community. You tell somebody about your goal. You work out the different ways to get there. And when you come up to obstacles, you talk about different ways to get over the obstacles. You know what's happening? You're literally operating and building hope. You're both practicing hope.
Interesting.
That's literally what hope is. And I believe and the best example of this is that what did God do? He created amazing humans. Like we were his number one thing. He's like, yes, this is rad.
Yeah.
We screwed that up. Yeah. Okay. Right. But he loves us so much.
Yeah.
He has all this willpower to just love and shine. You just his onus on us. You know what I'm saying? But we broke the way.
Yeah.
We broke the way for him to have a relationship with him. So what did he do? He sent his son to make a way. So the goal for God and us was for God to be able to have a relationship with him, with us.
Yeah.
So he sent his son.
And then his son gave us the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but before that, his son died on a cross, which was the way power for us to have relationship, for us to have hope.
Yeah.
So literally, the gospel is literally the psychological definition of hope.
Yay.
Isn't that insane?
That is. That's so insane. Good. I can't wait till we do that episode.
I know.
Because I got a lot of questions, but I'm trying to reserve them.
I know. And we're like 33 minutes in. But
also to add what you're saying, because you said in community. And so in community could be, I want to clarify, because for me in community looked like therapy. And that was my community of a place to go to and to... And she did provide hope. She did. It was like the place to work through certain things.
Correct.
And so your in community for you might look like you and your therapist. In community might be you and your therapist. And then you take that and then you and your friend, you know, digest what in there. Or it could be no therapy because that's just not where you're at. And it's in just
a group of friends.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to just look like because some people, I think, because of what they've been through are in a place where they're not able to trust as freely with some of the different struggles. And so it might be a safer place to just keep that community in the therapist community until you get to a place where now that's safe, or that you're comfortable, you know, or you're confident, you know,
yeah,
going through those. Cause it's deep things to like really attack your core values and principles.
Oh yes.
You have to go deep. And yeah. So,
cause like I said, some people build that up for you.
Yeah.
Just based on years of telling you were worthless.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
or
so
treating you like it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So to wrap this up, cause we talked about a lot, which we probably need to have like a part two.
Yeah, we should.
But one of our challenge was, figure out what your core values are.
Yes.
And then create a personal philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then create hope.
Which I'm going to do that too. I don't have a personal philosophy.
We can work on that together.
Okay.
Cause I'm literally working on mine right now.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like you need a new philosophy. Like one, you have one before you have kids.
Yes.
Then they wake you up to a new way of living.
Look, and then they become teens. And so that's a whole nother. Then they're grown.
You need to have like a survival philosophy.
Every 5 years, you got to redo it.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a good idea to check it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because if you just have, not that you would, hopefully it's so to the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It really is to the foundation. So yeah. It actually doesn't have to change.
Yeah. Because maybe there's more emphasis on something. Not
exactly.
Change like, you know, but
the
yeah.
actual things.
But yeah, just update or revamp.
Exactly. Exactly.
Facelift. Give it a facelift.
A mommy tuck.
But yeah. And then, yeah. So that was the yeah. couple things that to challenge. And just to, if you're struggling in the area of identity, to just look in his word and keep reading it until you believe it, you know, put a sticky note up. If there's one that sticks out more than the other, maybe spend a week of looking in the mirror for 1 minute and just saying that over yourself. Yeah. I'm wonderfully and marvelously made, and then go about your day. But like little things to help grow it is what I'm trying to say. I don't know why I can't speak right now, but you get what I'm saying, right? You get what I'm trying to say? Just help it. To practice.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And also sometimes people struggle with, like, do I believe or do I not believe? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have to make a choice and say, yes, I believe. And then decide to. Like, when I decided to, like Matt, mm-hmm. I literally made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then because that decision was made in my mind, it was easy to fall in love with him.
Yeah.
Because I decided.
Yeah.
I decided I'm going to like him. Isn't that weird?
No.
I literally did.
No.
I decided to like him.
Me too, yeah.
And then I liked him.
Yeah.
And so, and also, like, to reinforce truths with my kids,
mm-hmm.
if they say something that goes against how God says he sees them,
mm-hmm.
I say, that probably, like, that was insulting to the maker. Like, mm-hmm. he made you, like, with my nose, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, I hate this, you know? But then I'd be like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
God made me this way.
Yeah.
Like he made me like this. That means that he thought it was beautiful.
So it's ultimately trusting.
Beautiful. Yes.
Trusting that God is smart.
Yeah.
That God is wise.
Yeah.
That he's creative and that he has a plan. And if I trust that, this thing that looks ugly to me or unappealing to me, I trust that he knew best when he gave me this nose, or he knew best when he made me with this little cork or this little this. Like, he knew best with these big feet that he gave me.
Totally. You know,
he knew. He knew I was going to need him for walking. So,
I've been walking a lot.
But, you know, so I think a part of that, if you don't believe it yet, just trust God. Trust his word.
Yeah. Or don't worry about it. Just decide to believe it for like 2 weeks and see how it goes. Literally, try it on.
Yes, yes, yeah.
I promise you, if it doesn't work out in like 2 weeks, if you honestly try out, I believe that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If you try that on for 2 weeks and nothing happens, like I will personally send you a $25 Starbucks gift card.
Okay.
Like no joke.
You're going to get comments.
Honestly,
like,
well, good.
No, but you got to do it honestly. You can't be like, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah.
No, you're deciding to believe that.
Yes.
So if somebody insults you, you play that in your mind. Well, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So clearly God's opinion of me is the truth, is the absolute truth, and man's opinion of me, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt a little bit to hear it, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because the only person that matters is God.
Yeah.
Because in the end, that's who I'm standing in front of.
Mm-hmm.
Accountable to.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Not even my husband. No, no.
Okay.
Jinx.
Double jinx.
You owe me a mushroom coffee. Non-psychedelic. Don't worry about it. Okay, ladies. Well,
yay.
We dipped into identity a lot. But we got to talk about hope.
Yes.
My nerd out on.
Yeah.
Okay. But we love you. Be challenged. Try a new core value on for 2 weeks. See how it goes. And until next week, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Turn it off. Turn it off already. Turn it off. Hey, it's Emily here. I just wanted to thank you on behalf of Satrecia and I for listening to the Messy Faith podcast and allowing us to speak into your life. And hey, we don't want it just one way. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at any time through our website, our email at ask@messyfaith.com. You can like us on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you listen to us at. And hey, we'd love a little review. Can't wait to hear from you.